Daf Yud Ches Amud Aleph, we're in the middle of a Tosfos. We're in the middle of a very, very important Tosfos. Where firstly we saw a Machloikas, Rashi and Tosfos. A Machloikas, Rashi and Tosfos. An Oinein who does not make brachas. What does that mean, he doesn't make brachas? So Rashi says that he doesn't need to make brachas. And Tosfos disagreed and says not that he doesn't need to, but he must not. Not he need not, he must not make brachas. That was the machlokes between Rashi and Tosfos. Then Tosfos quoted extensively in the name of the Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi, remember, tells us two reasons, with differences between them, two reasons why it is that an oinein is not makayim mitzvahs. One is because of kavod hames. Kavod hames doesn't mean because of your involvement with the mace. It means the very fact that you just lost a close family member, you should be involved in nothing else, period. The second reason was a more practical reason, and that is because you are involved with dealing with the mace, who else is going to deal with the mace? After all, if this person is the close family member, it's his achrayas. And if it's his responsibility, that's why we exempt him. So there's two different reasons. Very important to get them clear. Again, reason number one, kavod hames. Reason number two is because you're involved in preparing for the kavura. And therefore you have a ptur of oisik b'mitzvah, potum ha-mitzvah. Now, the difference between the two reasons, as Yerushalmi already stated, is what happens in a situation where you are not involved in the mitzvah. So for example, first the Gemara said, what about on Yom Tov? Potter from Lulav, the Gemara says, the second reason would not apply there. Why would it not apply? Because it would only apply in a case, in a day where you can be busy with the kavura. But on Yom Tov, where you cannot, the Gemara said, it has to be talking about Chol HaMoed. Then the Gemara said, what about a ptur of shofar? There's no Chol HaMoed in Rosh Hashanah. And finally, the Gemara said, a very, very important yesod, even on a day where you cannot actually be involved in the kavura, like Yom Tov, for example, but nonetheless, you can be machshich al hatchum, which means you can not quite leave town, but you can make your way towards the end of town, so that come Motzei Shabbos or Motzei Yom Tov, you'll be immediately ready to leave the tchum and get hold of a coffin or shrouds and orim and tachrichim. And therefore, even on Shabbos or on Yom Tov, you do have the second reason as well. You are, as it were, involved in the kavura, not specifically with the actual kavura, but with the preparation for the kavura. That's what we saw yesterday. So let's go to that Tosfos towards the top of the Amud. And it's on the second narrow line. The last word on the second narrow line. Says Tosfos, Vakashya. So we have a kasha. Based on what we've just said till now, Shabbos and Yom Tov, all of the halachas of Aninus should apply. Why? Because even on Shabbos, despite the fact that you cannot do the actual kavura, but you can be involved with the preparation, how so? You make your way towards the end of the tchum. Says Tosfos, V'kashya mi-sefer. So we have a question now. What's the question? Excuse me. The Ketani, because we have in a Braisa, it says, B'Shabbos, remember in our Braisa? In our Braisa, it says, an Oinein is potter from mitzvahs, except on Shabbos. It says, B'Shabbos, Mevarchin Olav, U'mezamnin Olav, you're involved in Zimun, and you make brachas. So here we're clearly being told that what's the halacha on Shabbos? There are no halachas of Aninus. And that seems to absolutely contradict what we just said, that even on Shabbos there are the halachas of Aninus. Why? because we can always go towards the end of the tchum and get busy that way. So we have a bit of a steer over here. Is there aninus on Shabbos or is there no aninus on Shabbos? V'chein, and so too, just to further strengthen the question, Tanya Nami B'Yerushalmi. The Gemara in Yerushalmi says, Bameh Dvarim Amurim. When was all the above stated with regards to aninus b'chol? Avol b'Shabbos, but when it comes to Shabbos, Mesev v'oichel, he can quite happily lean and relax and eat, or mevorech, and he makes a bracha, v'oinin acharav omein, and he makes a bracha, they answer omein. So the Yerushalmi is clearly stating, once again, that on Shabbos, the halachas of aninus do not apply. So we have a bit of a stira. In the Reisha, in the beginning of the Yerushalmi says that even on Rosh Hashanah and on Sukkot, and therefore presumably on Shabbos as well, we have the halachas of aninus. Why is that? Because even though you can't do the actual burial, but you can do the preparation work, you can walk towards the end of the town. And yet in the Sefer of the Yerushalmi itself concludes and says, but on Shabbos, it's all different. On Shabbos, there's no halachas of aninus, which is an absolute contradiction, l'chaira, to what it's written in the Reisha, that there is halacha of aninus, l'chaira, even on Yom Tov and on Shabbos. Says Tosfos, v'oimer hari, the Ri says, indeed, the pligi ahadodi Reisha v'seifa b'Yerushalmi. Yes, I'm sorry to tell you, this is a non-reconcilable contradiction. The Reisha and the Sefer do not fit in with each other, and that's that. So yes, it's a stira. According to the Reed, don't bother trying to work it out, because the bottom line is there's a stira. Is there aninus on Shabbos? A stira between the Reisha and the Sefer. However, Rabbi Nesanel Hoyoimer, the Eshva Efshaviashvoi. Rabbi Nesanel says, no, perhaps we can reconcile it. The Vadai, certainly, in Daitoi Lahachshich Al Hatchum, it would depend on whether you're actually planning to walk to the end of the Tchum. So if indeed you are planning to walk to the ends of the Tchum, why? Because the only way you can get hold of Oroin and Tachrichim is from out of town, and therefore you need to be by the end of the Tchum, at the end of Shabbos. So then indeed, Oz Yesh Lonu Loima, so then indeed we can say the Torud, he is preoccupied, Lahachshich, in getting there in time for dark, Ve'enoi rashoi levarech, and would not therefore be allowed to make a bracha. Avol b'sefer, but in the sefer, Mairi, you know what he's talking about there? B'she'ein daitoi lahachshich alatchum. Where there, it's talking about where he has no das to be machshich alatchum, and therefore there's no halachas of aninus. So therefore, according to Rabbi Nesanel, this bryce says no contradiction at all. The difference between weekday and Shabbos is as follows. Weekday, yes, there is a general exemption. On Shabbos, there's not a general exemption, but rather it would depend. On what? On the practicalities. Are you indeed busy on Shabbos or not? In the event that, for example, he's able to get hold of an orein and tachrichim locally. So the levaya is planned for Motzah Shabbos. This person was nifta Shabbos morning. So until Motzah Shabbos, there is absolutely nothing to do. The orein, the tachrichim, they're all ready to go. He does not need to walk to the end of the tchum to fetch anything. He's not involved with the kavura. So therefore, there's no reason in the world to exempt him from mitzvahs. How can you say he's Torah? Torah do not, there's nothing for him to do. But in the event there is no Ore in the Tachrichim available, and therefore the only ones that he can get his hands on are from out of town, so then on Shabbos morning, as soon as the person was Nifta, he starts making his trek, and he walks all the way to the end of town. Why? So that when it comes to Choshech, he should be able to now step out of the Tchum. So he is busy, even on Shabbos, if not with the Kavura, but at least with the preparation for the Kavura. So under those circumstances, then indeed he is Torud. So it's very simple, according to Rabbi Nusano. Is a person Torud on Shabbos? The answer is, it depends. If there's nothing to do, then he's not Torud. And if there is something to do, then he is Torud. However, says Tosus in conclusion, Umiru, however, hai taima, loy shaykh letama demishum kevoidoi. Everything we've just said now is only in fitting with the reason of the Yerushalmi that talks about Torud. Remember, we said before, there are two separate reasons in Yerushalmi for exempting an oinin from mitzvahs. Number one, kavod hames. What does kavod hames mean? The very fact that the mes is there means you just should not be occupied with anything else. The second reason is because of a practicality, because you're dealing with the needs of the mes. So therefore, that's why you are torud. So if you go with reason number two, that a person is torud, so then everything we've said until now makes perfect sense, which is that when it comes to Shabbos, we're going to have to work out every situation, is he or is he not torud? So if we have a stira, is there aninus on Shabbos, we can easily reconcile it. One case he is torud, one case he's not torud. But that all only makes sense according to the reason of Torud. But according to the reason of Kavod Hames, if the issue at hand is Kavod Hames, and I'm sorry to tell you, it makes no difference. Whether it's Shabbos or Yom Tov or weekday, he should always be exempt. As soon as the person passed away, it's not covered now to be occupied with anything else whatsoever. And that's what Tosfos means, that the distinction we just made only makes sense according to the reason of Torud, but does not make sense according to the reason of Kavod Hames. Let's continue. Says Tosfos, we will refer back now to the Yerushalmi we mentioned before. The Yerushalmi we mentioned before said that on Chol HaMoed, there are all the halachas of Aninus. Umin ha-Yerushalmi, from the Yerushalmi, the Mashani, that answered, the Potter Menetilas Lula, the Yerushalmi initially explained, the Mairi b'Chol HaMoed. Initially, the Yerushalmi explained, it's talking about Chol HaMoed, the Torud, where he's preoccupied, Lissa Masa'oi, to bear his burden. That's the way the Yerushalmi initially answered this. What does it mean you're exempt from Lulav? It means on Chol HaMoed. Says Tosfos, do you know what you learn from there? Lamadnu. You learn from over here, that Shabbachol HaMoed Shaykh Aninus. We learn from over here that on Chol HaMoed, the halachas of Aninus apply fully. The kiven, and because, Kishemesoi Mutal Lefonov. As long as the mace is Mutal Lefonov, which we explained in the Gemara means not necessarily geographically lying in front of him, but rather the responsibility of burying him falls on you. Mekeven de kemutel lefonov. Because when it keshem mutel lefonov, shaykh aninos. Therefore, as we said before, kimutel olav lekoivrai. So too, when the dead body is not actually lying there, but the achrayus, the responsibility lies with you to bury him. Kemutel lefonov domi. It is as if the dead body is there. Now we need to discuss what would be in the reverse scenario. It says Tosfos, v'chein ipcha. So too, the other way around. What's the other way around? Mi shemesoy mutal lefonov. If the dead body is lying there, v'ein olav lekoivroi. What happens if, due to circumstances we'll mention in a moment, if the achrayus of burying him does not fall upon the relative? Remember we said that the geographic location of the mace is not what's important. The Gemara told us that when the Mishnah says mutal lefonov, lying in front of him, it doesn't mean the physical body is lying in front of him, it means the responsibility lies in front of him. Therefore, says Tosfos, the next obvious step is that so too in the reverse scenario, if the dead body is there, but the responsibility of burying him does not rest on your shoulders, then ein noyeg aninos. There'll be no aninos. So therefore, this is absolutely a double-edged sword. There's two sides of the coin. If it all depends on achrayus, are you charged with burying the dead or not? So then if you are, which will be the regular case, then you'll be exempt, even if you're not in geographical proximity with a mace. But if the achrayus is not on you, why would the achrayus, by the way, not be on him? We'll soon see in Tosfos for several examples. So then even if you are in geographical proximity with a mace, but nonetheless, you'll be obligated with mitzvahs. You have no patur. Says Tosfos, v'chein mashma b'Yerushalmi. And I have a proof from this, says Tosfos, from the Yerushalmi. Why? What does it say? It says, nimsar l'rabim. What does that mean, nimsar l'rabim? If the dead body was handed over to the rabim for other people to take care of, you gave the body to the Chevra Kadisha. So if you give the dead body to the Chevra Kadisha, then there's nothing now for the relative to do. The Chevra Kadisha take total responsibility, and they are the ones who look after the dead body. So if that's the case, you cannot anymore say that he's Toro, that he's preoccupied with the Achrayas, because it's not true. Because he's given the mace to the rabbin. The rabbin will now look after the dead body, and therefore there's nothing for the relative to do. That's what it means. Nimsa l'rabim. What's the halacha then? Oichel basar v'shoyser yayin. If you have given over the dead body to the rabbin, what does that mean to the rabbin? There's other people, lots of other people. They'll take care of it. Or nimsar l'ksofim. What's ksofim? Ksofim, literal translated, the kotef is a shoulder. So it's a reference to the Chevra Kadisha. The Chevra Kadisha who carry, as it were, the coffin on their shoulders. So nimsar l'ksofim, once you've handed over the dead body to the ksofim, to the Chevra Kadisha, kanimsa l'rabim. That's as if you've handed over to the rabim, to the masses, even though the Chevra Kadisha doesn't necessarily mean there's 100 people involved. Doesn't matter. So they have their 4 people involved. That's their job. And safe to assume that they will take care of their job exactly the way they should, in which case the achrayus is therefore no longer on the relative. So Tosfos says Tosfos, therefore, what do you see in his Yerushalmi? You see in his Yerushalmi that it all depends where the Achrayas is. And if the dead body's Achrayas of Kvura now lies with somebody else, whether it be the Rabbim or the Ksafim, the bottom line is the relative is no longer involved. So therefore the halachas of Aninus does not apply, and he can eat basa and he can be shayse yayin, and he's obligated in mitzvahs. He's not involved in anything. Says Tosfos, but al karachach, and we have to say that what does it mean? Nimsar l'rabim. We said if it's nimsar l'rabim, if the dead body is handed over to the rabbim, then there's exempt. Says Tosfos, we have to say, Rot Saloma, do you know what that means? Afilu lefonov. Even if the dead body is lying right there in front of him, but you've called in the ksofim, or you've called in the rabbim to take care of the dead body, they have not yet taken a dead body out of the front door. Nonetheless, you have no halachas of aninus. It must be talking about afilu lefonov. Why? Deishaloi lefonov. Because if we're dealing with a case where the dead body is no longer lefonov, i.e. they've taken him out of the house, then, says Tosfos, makes no sense. Taper clay, shemiyad, chal, olov, avelus, mishayotza, mipesach, beisoi. The halacha is that once they take the dead body out of the front door, so that's it. There's no longer the halachas of aninus. You're not involved anymore. So what is this Yerushalmi teaching me when it says that if nimsar l'ksofim or the rabbim, there's no longer of aninus? One second. Where's the dead body? If the dead body is outside, then you're anyway exempt from aninus, because once the dead body is taken out of the house, it's on its way to the levaya, that's it, there's no halachas of aninus. So therefore, it must be talking about where the dead body is still inside the house, but the very fact that you've handed over responsibility to the rabbin or to the ksofim, it now means that the responsibility is not on the relative, and if it's not on the relative, there's no halachas of aninus. Right, so just give me 10 seconds, literally 10 seconds. Achrayas is, if the Achrayas, and that's what it means, mutal lefonov. We said the geographical location is not the point. If the Achrayas is with the mace, with a relative, excuse me, so then indeed he's exempt, he's considered to be an oinim. And if the Achrayas is with someone else or a different group, the rabbim or the ksofim, then the mace has no halachas of avelos, aninus, and he may eat basa, he may drink wine, and he's chayav b'mitzvah, says Tosfos. V'kiven deloy chal oleho aninus. Since we just said that aninus will not take effect, will not apply to him in the case that he's not torahed, im kein, if so, adam she'enoi yochoil likbor meisoi. What would be the halacha of somebody who has not handed responsibility over to anybody, but he, for some reason, cannot bury the dead? Until now, we've spoken about a case where you've handed over responsibility to the rabbim, to the ksafim, the chevra kadisha. What happens if you've done none of the above and yet you still cannot be involved? What will be a case? Kegoin Adam Shemeis Bebeis Hasurim. Somebody died in captivity, is in jail. Somebody is incarcerated in jail, and whilst in jail, he dies. Ve'ein ha-moishel, and the king does not manichai le-koivroi, does not allow him to be buried, Rahmana Litzlan. So he's languishing now in jail, until this point, alive and now dead. And the authorities will not hand over the dead body.
Sounds like the Maharam of Rotenburg.
Right. Right. So in a case like that, says Tosfos, Nireh, it would appear to me, She'ein Chayev Linag Boy Aninus. So then, tragically, there will be no halachas of Aninus. Why not? Shaharei Ein Ze Mutal Olov L'Koivrei. Because now the responsibility of burying the dead does not rest on the shoulders of the relative. Why not? Because there's nothing he can do. Shaharei ein zeh mutal alav l'koivrei mipnei she'ein yochai lifdoisai. Because you can't redeem him. Ulhaitziyoi l'koivrei. Or to take him out to be buried. The authorities have said, listen, he's going to languish there. There's nothing that can be done whatsoever. So this is not a case of giving over responsibility to the Chevra Kadisha. This is a case of where the person who should be responsible, i.e. the relative, cannot be responsible. Why not? Because a dead body is simply not available. Says Tosas, it would appear then. There's no case of no aninus. Kedatanya b'masechtas smachos, indeed, as we have a brisa masechtas smachos, which says, Nisya'ashu bailom milakoivroi. If the bailim, who's the bailim? That means the relatives. If nisya'ashu, what does that mean, nisya'ashu? They've given up hope. If they've come despaired of burying him, then misablin olov. So if they should start avelus and just miss out aninus. Uposik minei toiras aninus. And the Torah of Aninos, Posik Minei, gets cut off. Normally there's two stages. Stage one is Aninos. Stage two is Avelos. But in the case of where they've given up hope, there's nothing they can do to bury the dead body, either because the dead body is not available, or the dead body is lost, or is in captivity. So then you completely miss out stage one, and you go straight to stage two. And that's what it means, Miss Ablin. They will practice Avelos, but with no Aninos. Now, what's the halacha? Imagine somebody drowns, Rachmana Litzlan, and the dead body can't be found. And they've officially called off the search, and they reach the inescapable tragic conclusion, he must have passed away, and he's lost somewhere in the Atlantic Ocean, unfortunately, tragically, never to be found. So then, as we said, there's no aninus, because there's no kavura, there's nothing to do, the dead body's lost. So what do? So you go to Avelus, so you just begin the shiva straight away. Now let's go back to the case we discussed a moment ago. That's called nisyashu, they've given up hope. Finished, there's no way you can ever get hold of the dead body. He's drowned, he's lost at sea forever. Now let's go back to the previous case. In the previous case, where we said the dead body is languishing in jail. So there also we said there's no aninus. Why is there no aninus? Because there's no kvura. The authorities have said we're not letting him out, so there's no point preparing for the levaya. There is no levaya. So does that mean also you would skip stage one and go to stage two? You would not be an oinein, you would just be an ovel. Says Tosfos miu ba'oisei she'tofsei moishel. In the case where the moishel, where the authorities have grabbed the dead body, Gam Avelus Einoi Chayev. It's a very strange situation. He will not be an Einain, but neither will the Alochas of Avelus apply. Why? It's not similar to the case where they've given up hope of ever burying him. What's the case of giving up hope of ever burying him? Like we said, he's lost at sea, finished, never to be seen again. Why is that different? Because Shesham Einoi Kovroi Su. In that case, they'll never bury him. He's lost at sea. He's lost in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean. There's no way, unless miraculous, that you can ever, ever hope of finding the body. So therefore, Aninus is totally irrelevant. There's no Kavura to talk of. So you just move straight into stage two, which is Avelus. Avalhocha, but over here, in the case where the person is languishing in jail, even though I cannot be involved with Kavura at the moment, why? Because the authorities are not releasing the body, but you haven't given up hope. Avalhocha adayin hu metzape, he's still waiting and hoping, im yuchal lasois pshara. Hopefully he can come to some sort of compromise, im hamoyshel, with the authorities, lahanichai lakoivroi, to allow him to be buried. So what is his status at the moment? Neither an oinein. Why? Because he's not involved with the kavura now. But you don't start avelus, because he's still hoping that there will be a kavura. So it might take a day or two or three to negotiate with the authorities. Whereas in the case of nisyash, where they've given up hope completely, then there's no negotiating. Finished. As far as he's concerned, this body will never be buried. You just therefore straight, you enter the phase of avelus. V'chein, says Tosfos in conclusion, Maisa der Belezaber of Shimon, Bebov Metziah, the Posak Mitzvahs Aninus, where the Mitzvah of Aninus was suspended, and that backs up what Tosfos says, that sometimes Aninus does not apply, and that is if there's no Kavura to be involved with. Says Tosfos, the last line, U'maisa, there was a story, Shemeso Achoiso Shorabim Utam B'Shabbos. Rabbeinu Tam's sister passed away on Shabbos. V'hoidiu loy b'motzah Shabbos. And they informed him on Motzah Shabbos, be'ir acheres, in a different town. So Rabbeinu Tam lived in one town, and his sister, who lived in a different city, completely passed away on Shabbos, and they inform him on Motzah Shabbos. V'ochal bosor v'shoso Yayin. And he quite happily ate basar and drank wine. Why? But he's the brother. And if he's the brother, what happened to Aninus? So he explained, V'omar, and he said, Kiven sheyesh lo ba'al, because Rabbeinu Tam's sister had a husband, shechayev b'kvuroso, and he is obligated to bury her. Therefore, Einoi Osur Babasa Vayayim. So again, it all depends on the practicality. Why would he have Aninus? Because he's chayav to bury her, but he's not. She had a husband, and he's obviously going to take charge. Says Tosfos, Ve'efshem, perhaps therefore, Shegam Rabbeinu Tam, Im Hoyo Be'ir Atzmai. The story happened to be that he was in a different town. But that particular piece of information is not really important in the overall story. Even had he been Be'ir Atzmai, which means in the same town, says Tosfos, it's safe to assume, Hoyo Mekel Me'oisoi Hatam. He would have been lenient for the same reason. In other words, if you want to know what the story actually was that Rabbeinu Tam lived in a different town to his sister. But that part of the story is not relevant. Why? Because even if he would have lived in the same town, he would have said the same thing. At the end of the day, even if I'm lived next door neighbor, at the end of the day, the husband, he's going to take chief responsibility. And therefore, that's like the case we mentioned before, like giving the dead to the Chevra Kadisha. So what's the difference if you give the body to the Chevra Kadisha or you give the body to her own husband? Either way, the brother is definitely only second on the list. And if there is a husband, if there's no husband, well, obviously the brother is, he's in charge. But if there's a husband, he's going to take care of her. Therefore, there's no halachas vanimus. So you can have bosa, you can have yayin. And that's why Tosfos is just pointing out, don't make a mistake in thinking that a key element in this story was that Rabbeinu Tam was in a different town. No, even had he been in exactly the same town, the same reason would apply. And therefore, really, this whole Tosfos can really be summed up in one line. And that is, the halachas of aninus all depend on whether you are or whether you are not responsible for burying the dead. That's it. Why would there be many cases where the relative would not be responsible to bury the dead? So we've just mentioned the number of cases. Number one, for example, the dead body is in jail. Number two, for example, you've actually given up hope of ever being able to be kover the mace because the dead body is lost. Number three, because there is a relative, there is a husband. Number four, in the case of Shabbos, for example, if you have an Orein and a Tachrichim, there's nothing for you to do. So here we have several cases of where a close relative passes away, and yet the bottom line is there's nothing for you to do. Either because there is nothing to do because it's Shabbos, or because the dead body is lost, or because there's somebody else taking care of it. Either way, the rule is simple. Under those circumstances, halachas of aninus would not apply.
Covered hamais.
Very good point. So it seems to be that we're not going with the reason of covered hamais. Very, very good point. Because as you mentioned, covered hamais did not depend on whether you are or not busy. So it seemed to be that covered hamais is not the main reason. The main reason is, are you torahed? And then it's a practical question. If you are, then you have aninus. And if you're not, then you don't. Okay, Imit Hashem, tomorrow we'll continue on in the Gemara and then we'll see you together with the Shulchan Aruch Imit Hashem. Have a great day and a Freilich Hanukkah.